Let me get my phone working. Half idle. So church, stay awake. Start writing notes. We're going to speak. Go through the Bible slowly. I want you to read and absorb what God is saying, because God has told us to teach the gospel. So half idols. God is not only concerned with the outward practice, but with the quietly heart that rules inside us. Those hidden loyalties, desires, and compromises we carry, still seeking His guidance. It is a reminder that God does not just speak to people who ask questions, right, for the sake of it, but to the hearts that are willing to be fully His, right? A contrite heart. So I'm going to be reading from Ezekiel, okay, Ezekiel 1. If you get to your Bibles, we'll read it slowly together. And we're going to hear what the Lord is going to say to us, because He's also talking to us about idols in our hearts. Okay, so Ezekiel, did I put the chapter 1? 14, I think it's 14:1. I've put 1 here, but not the chapter. Hang on. You know, when I put the sermon together, I'm so excited. I forget all the numbers. And I just put the scripture down. Ezekiel 14:1. Thank you. Okay. So Ezekiel 14:1 in your Bibles. We're going to read it together. And this is a God talking to the prophet to talk to the people. And it's for us today. It's the same thing. And so it says now. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their own idols in their hearts, and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of all by them? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by the heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Verse 6. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me, and sets up his idols in his heart, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I the Lord will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know I am the Lord. And if a prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people. And they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned any more with all the transgressors, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord God. And so we've just read this verse from Ezekiel. So a warning for us today. So how are we supposed to understand the verse? The key point is that their idols were not necessarily physical statues. The idols were in their hearts. Anything that takes God's rightful place in our affections, our trust, obedience, or devotion can become an idol. Money, status, pleasure, family, relationships, traditions, or even the business of life. Anything that separates us that we have put in our hearts before the Lord. God says they have also put before themselves. This is saying that you have done it. This says you have done it. We have put an idol. You have put an idol in your heart. That which causes them to stumble into iniquity. In other words, they were deliberately holding on to things that led them into separation from God. They had erected an idol while at the same time seeking God's guidance. You know, hypocrisy, really. God, can you help me? I really need you, Lord. But God said, hang on, look in your heart. You've put that already. Why am I going to answer you? Why will I answer you when you've already erected an idol in your heart? Okay, God is not working like that. And if a man of God affirms your idol, God's not affirming him either. He'll knock them both out. Right? So God is saying to us, listen, what you put in your heart that you have put there, you seek me, I'm not going to answer you. The Lord's question is striking. Should I let myself be inquired of all at all by them? God is saying, should I listen to you even when you come to me? Should I bother? Should I bother? They wanted God's direction. Many people do, without surrendering their idols. Okay, they want to have the idol and God. And God is not working that way. They wanted divine guidance without repentance. They wanted God's voice while refusing God's authority. The main point remains the same today. God desires truth in our hearts towards Him. He's not merely interested in outward worship, right? Your church attendance, your religious activities, or works. So it appears outwardly that you are pleasing God, right? God's not interested in it. He couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. God looks at your heart towards Him. This is a very sobering, church. Right, this is God talking to us. Have you put something in your heart before me? So let's consider an example. I'm going to use my own example here, right? And you've heard it before, but I'm going to repeat it again. After my traumatic heart event some years ago, I recovered well, but a few months later, I began experiencing symptoms of anxiety, fear, and heart palpitations. Right, this is me. Right? I went back to hospital, you know, a few times for reassurance that my heart was still healthy. You know, when you have a heart attack, you have a traumatic event happens to you. Your heart starts making noises and you think you're not feeling good, you're lying down and you're not feeling great, right? And you're thinking, okay, maybe something's going wrong here. During this period, the Lord gently showed me that my focus has shifted. Isn't that not awesome? I want sympathy. Oh no, I could, you know, there's another heart attack because the hospital was telling you when you have one, you can have another one. Buy one, get one free. You know, the hospital is an awesome place of encouragement. You know, the Lord said to me, David, you're making it into an idol. Oh, Lord, but it's not fake. Breathing and I, oh, I can't breathe. You know, and so you get all the symptoms, right? It's not in my head. It's symptoms in the flesh. It's real physical symptoms. Right? And if I went to the world or whenever, they would give you a nice pat on the back and they say, oh, you've got this trauma and maybe you need some therapy and maybe you need some help and maybe you need this and that. And that's how it goes. But the Lord said to me, you're making It's an idol. Instead of trusting him, I had become consumed with my health and the fear of what might happen. Right? And that's the thing. That's the truth of it. The fear of something happening that may not happen. So my health and my heart have begun to occupy a place that belonged to God alone. You see the switch, church? You see the switch? A place that was for the Lord, I was starting to make an idol, right? Some of you can relate to that here? Right? Some of you may relate to it. Your idol may be something different than mine. But God is saying, if you're putting an idol up, right, he's not going to accept it. I repented and turned my attention back to the Lord. That's what I did. Choosing to trust him rather than be ruled by fear. As I did, anxiety gradually lost its grip. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. You see, church? Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome, girls? Listen, wherever the idol is, right? Health, finances, home, reason. Listen, wherever your idol is that's creeping into your heart, that causes you maybe not to come to church, that causes you maybe not to call God, call on the Lord, very deadly. Very deadly place to be. Deadly. I don't use that word like very deadly. Because you only have a season to acknowledge that and then it becomes your norm. You understand? You've got a season to acknowledge, you know, no. It becomes your norm. It's your normal life. And the idol's part of your life and you're sharing it with God is saying no. God is saying no. So this is a very serious word, church. I don't want to minimize, it's a very serious word. This does not mean that health concerns are unimportant, right? I'm not saying that. Or that we should ignore genuine symptoms, right? God cares about our bodies, understands our fears. However, when our health, our worries, our concerns become the center, okay? Because Satan is like mist, he's gentle. Very gentle. He'll blow in your direction. Very subtle. Like mist at your feet. Very gentle. You won't even catch it. Because he is the master deceiver. Think how sophisticated Satan is. He is the master deceiver. Slowly. A little pain here. A little thing there. When our identity, okay, becomes the issue, it becomes a hidden idol in our heart. We unintentionally give place to it that belongs to God alone. Right, this is the whole the scripture Ezekiel was talking about. The Lord calls us to trust him through every storm. Church, your storm may be different from my storm, knowing that our security is ultimately found in him and not in our circumstances, right? We can start off strong with the Lord. We get banged a bit by the enemy. And he starts to move us off now into fear, anxiety, fear. We don't want to talk to God. We believe God's not talking to us. And all the nonsense that Satan wants you to get into. Because the end game of Satan is to isolate you. Isn't that right, church? Yeah. It's to get you in the corner. Not answer phones, not read messages, not read your Bible. Say I'm busy, don't go to church. And he wants to get you there. And if he can get you there for long enough and isolate you from the body, right? He's going to win. So you've got to be wise, okay? The scripture wants you to be wise. We're not stupid people. We've got the wisdom of God in us. So use wisdom. Look at your circumstances today, this morning, and ask, you know, Lord, have I got an idol that I don't know about? Start thinking about these things. Christ tells us, no one can serve two masters. Okay, we can't serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. And Christ is using this example. You cannot serve God and mammon, right? Money. But you can replace it with something else in your life that's an idol. In other words, you and I, we have to serve one master. That's it. We make him Lord, don't we? He's not a choice. He's not like, okay, I'm going to choose. He is Lord. You make him Lord. You bow to the Lord. You worship the Lord. He is Lord. And when you do that, he starts to look after you. He doesn't accept anything else. Christ also draws our attention again to the heart. So Matthew 15:8. Right, he's talking to the Pharisees. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Very important. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. This is religious teaching, right? You can be in a church or you can have religious things inside you. A lot of people have come from religious churches. The doctrines of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. So Christ is saying to you this morning, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, okay? But what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came to him and said to him, do you know how the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? So Jesus teaching, he said to them, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders and blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch. So how you listen, how you respond, very, very important. Then Peter answered and said to him, Lord, explain the parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also without understanding? Are we this morning without understanding? Are we hearing the scriptures? But we're not understanding it. You're going to ask yourself. Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Right? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. So we're going back to the heart now. And they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. So the heart has lots of wicked things in it, right, church? Your heart. Our heart has lots of wicked things in it. And God is wanting us to deal with our hearts. Jesus teaches us and warns us not to fall into the same trap. So today he wants to warn us, right? God is teaching you today, teaching me today, erecting hidden unseen idols. We have to put him first place in every situation. He is our everyday savior. Every day he has to save you, right? Every day he has to save you. Jesus says this to us, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your... okay? With all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So we think of the words today of Ezekiel, right? We think about what Jesus is saying. And now you pull yourself into the scriptures, church. This teaching is for you today. Pull yourself into it. Think about it for a moment, right? Lord, do I have an idol in me? Is there something, someone, something that is more than you? And I'm rushing home today to go and bow before that idol. Think about your life. We are coming into the first half of this year. Right? No one goes to university and college for a year and fails. Right? Listen to what God is saying through the Spirit for you today. If there's any idols in your heart, if there's anything you're putting above God, circumstances, friends, family, listen, you know, everyone here knows what it is. Okay? God's saying, is it me? Am I really your Lord? Am I really? Or do you honor me with your lips? But your heart, is it really far from me? A very serious thing, church. Deadly serious for some of you today. Deadly serious. God will not be mocked. You understand? He either your Lord or your God, or he's not. He's not a jack in the box. When you're emotionally feeling happy, you open up the box. Right? And then you're angry with God, you push it down. Don't ever treat him like that. He is the Lord. He loves you. He died on that cross. And his Spirit can be with you every day. We are without excuse. And that's a scary thing.
You are without excuse. You are without excuse if you have idols in your heart.
So, not happy notes, right? What action can we take today? Right? What can we take today? Heart idols are serious because they can quietly draw our attention. And this is the bit which is wicked. Quietly drawing you away. Our attention, our trust, our affection away from God. It's almost like a damp cloth over fire. The Lord is calling each of us today to examine our hearts honestly. Are you with me, church? Are you the mind somewhere else? Where are you, church? Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you listening? Have you wandered off somewhere? Are you on the beach somewhere? Yeah, save that for later. Get back here. Get back here. The Lord is calling you today. Right? Examine your heart before the Lord honestly. You know, we were mentioning MOT, right? So you have to do your own spiritual MOT, right? Honestly, check your oil. What's your oil? Holy Spirit, are you full? Right. Think about it. Have you got the fuel for the next journey? The Word of God. Alright? Have a spiritual check. Take it seriously. Take your health seriously. Take your relationship with God deadly seriously. Your life depends on it. Take some time to make a list, right? So I'm just going to go into a few things that you can think about, and then we'll have a time of prayer. Make a list of things that occupy your thoughts the most. What occupies you the most in the morning when you get up, right? Think about it. What occupies it? Is it children? Is it the stress? Is it lack of funds? Is it resources? Is it fear, anxiety? Is it health? Is it your job? Think about it. What consumes you? And I want everyone here, just as I'm speaking, think about it. What consumes you in the morning, right? What worry do you have in your head? What consumes you? You know, a few things. You know, the fear, worry, health, finances, family problems, housing issues, work, pressures, ambitions. Whatever it is, what's weighing on you? What is weighing on you predominantly? Then prayerfully bring each one before the Lord, right? Very important. Right? You know now what it is. You're thinking about it. You're sitting here thinking, oh, Lord, okay, you know, I've been distant from you. I've got this idol, and I didn't mean it was an idol. I didn't make it to be an idol, and that's fine. Because we don't, do we? We don't start making it an idol. But because we are geared up this way, we're born this way to worry and stress and everything, because we don't have the care of people around us, right? We're always working, aren't we? You don't have someone to watch over us and to care for us. So you're worrying about finances, you're worrying about this, you're worrying about these things. And God knows this. He knows your situation, right? But he's saying, don't make it an idol. So think about it. Then prayerfully bring each one before the Lord. Ask yourself, have I been trusting in this? Fearing in this, focusing on this? More than I trust God. I gave an example about health, and you have your own examples. Where the Holy Spirit reveals a misplaced priority, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, you know, is there something that I'm deceived into thinking? Ask the Lord honestly, right? Because he doesn't want you to have an idol in you. Amen. He doesn't want you to have anything, right? It's all about him. It's not about us anymore, unfortunately. It's all about him. When you're consumed with God, right, your life changes, your priorities changes. You know God's going to provide for you, right? He knows you're going to sort out the car, sort out the business, sort out the home, sort out the health, sort out whatever it is. He'll just sort it out because God is good, right? God is good all the time. Hallelujah. He's always good, right? And we forget. Remember, God is not seeking perfection, but a heart that is willing to be searched, corrected and drawn close to the Lord. Right? He's not scolding you. He'll be saying, listen, you've got some idols in your heart. Ditch it. Just ditch it. You don't need it. You just need me. Alright? And so I'm going to end with this psalm, and then I'm going to end in a few moments of prayer. I'm going to allow every person here to just ask the Lord in your own words, right? And so Psalm 139, 29 to 24, it just says this, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Okay, I'm going to say you can close your eyes and you can listen to the word and then you can ask the Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting. And so, Lord, as this word drops on your children here today, Lord God, may Holy Spirit, may you help the people here today as they close their hearts, Lord, close their eyes, open their hearts, Lord. May they physically go to their mantelpiece and just remove the idol. Whatever God's saying to them, the idol may be, may they start to take it out and toss it out and throw it out. And may for each idol that every brother and sister has here, sincerely, may you ask the Lord to, Lord, forgive me, Lord. I didn't know. Just like a father. Right, a daughter, father, just speaking to your father, a son, just speaking, Lord, you know what? I've got this idol. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I don't want it, Lord. And just go for each one. I'm going to give you a few moments in this time. Okay, and just ask in church, listen, he's so awesome. He loves you so much. And he doesn't want you to have the idol because he knows you're missing a part of him in your life. Do you understand? He knows that. And so, Father, as I'm praying over the brothers, the sisters here today, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, will you help them remove the idol, whatever that may be. May you highlight it to them. May you show them an image. May they physically, because God says you've erected it, so you're going to have to remove it, right? You're going to have to remove it. You're going to have to repent and turn away from whatever you've made an idol. Okay, you know what it is, and just Lord, I repent. Sorry, Lord, that part now where the idol used to live, God will fill it with His anointing, His love, and His mercy. So the Spirit of God in your home, which is your house, which is the body you live in right now. Okay, in your heart, just let the Lord direct you. Chuck the idol out, replace it with the Word of God, His love, and His mercy. And is great because God desires to have all of you. You understand? God doesn't want parts of you. He's about the whole person. When Christ died on the cross, He died for all of you. Every part of you, God wants to consume every part of your life, every part of your sleep, every part of your dreams, every part of your emotion. He is a God that consumes. He's a consuming God. He's not the God of parts. He's the God of consuming. He wants a consuming fire. So Holy Spirit, we pray, may that fire of Jesus Christ go through the people this morning who recognize their idols, who've humbled themselves and given you the idol. And may your peace be upon them. May your love be upon them. May your mercy be upon them. If you have an idol and it's called you, if you're the idol, chuck it out. Get rid of it and everything that's attached to it, right, which will pull out pride. Pull it all out. Chuck it all out. God seeks total humility because Jesus demonstrated total humility. And so, Lord, let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to humble ourselves and be honest and sincere with the God of all truth. He knows your life. Nothing is hidden from Him. Ask the Lord, take it. Lord, take it. I don't want it. Search me, Lord. Remove me, Lord. Try me, Lord. Let it all be removed, church. May you have an encounter with the Lord. May He go into your heart even more so. Fill you with His presence, His love, His mercy, His grace for you. I pray that you will experience the love of God into your heart in a new, profound way. And because He died for you individually, church, He died for everyone here. He is your individual Savior. He died for you individually that you may have life and life in abundance. And so, Holy Spirit, we just thank you as you're working through the children here, your brothers and sisters here, that every idol be destroyed, removed, and gone, broken down. and that your presence, Lord Jesus Christ, because the thing you seek to fix, you can't fix it. He's got to do it. He's the one that can do it. And so that's why we have nothing but you. And so, Lord, we thank you that you wash away every tear. There is no condemnation, okay, for those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no feeling bad. Just repent, turn to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let him fill your heart with the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for removing heart idols this afternoon, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the work you've done and will do in the brothers and sisters here this afternoon. And we thank you that we are your church, you are the head, we are the body. We thank you for the words of gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. And Lord, as I finish and close off the service today, church, I just want to just bless everyone here today. So, Father, I just bless everyone here today with the presence of God, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I pray a blessing over them, over their children, over their loved ones. I pray for a wall of protection around the saints in this place, that your angels may be in attendance, O God, according to the will of God, that you may protect, watch over, and guide your church, because it is your church. And you said, I will build the church, and again, the gates of hell will not prevail. And so, Lord, we thank you for every spiritual blessing as they leave here onto their week. May your presence, may your love, may your mercy, and may your healing. I just want to pray healing. God is still the healer. I just want to pray healing over everyone here today. Whether it be in your heart, you need it. Whether it be in your emotions, you need it. Whether it be in your body, may God heal. May the presence of God be upon you this morning, right now. May you feel the tangible presence, the power of the living God right now upon you and in you. And may that follow you all the days of your long life in the mighty, awesome, precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. So we're going to allow the worship to lead us into a time of gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.